Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 149 with David Kincaid. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. Also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders from across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with David Kincaid, we explore a number of interesting topics like how David got started with grants, the three areas of education grant funding, the steps to finding a grant, and why you need to be bold and innovative. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Are you attending the Mastery Leadership Institute this summer in Salt Lake City? You know, educators are great. They're great at collecting data. But how do your teachers use that data in real time? Learn how to stop just collecting data and to start using it at the Mastery Leadership Institute. Learn more about this event, including the locations and dates, at masteryconnect.com/MLI. That's masteryconnect.com/MLI. Well, hey there, better leaders. I am joined today by David Kincaid, and he is a brother of mine in the Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind. One of the things that, you know, we talk a lot about Better Leaders, Better Schools is this whole mastermind thing where I serve school leaders. And I think the single reason I have great credibility in this space is because I actually pay to participate. And I meet awesome people like David, and he's going to drop just massive value today on the podcast. But real quick, his bio. David's background includes 5 years as a successful grant writer, totaling over $2.2 million in wins. Prior to Alberta Business Grants, David worked for 4 years at the Legislative Assembly of Alberta as a finance research analyst and an executive assistant to the leader of the official opposition. He holds a master's degree in Canadian politics, specializing in media and public opinion. There's a longer bio for you on the blog, so check it out there, linked up in the show notes. And my other favorite thing about David, he's Canadian. So I say process, he says process. This is going to be just a tantalizing adventure, even just for your ears. So David, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here. I just realized this is my third podcast interview of all time.
Two of them are with me.
Actually, all three of them are.
All three of them are with
me. The first one was when we were in Texas. Remember when we were in Texas? You had the little stand.
Yeah.
When we were sitting down. And then, so yeah, I'm three. I only do podcasts with Danny Sunshine Bauer. I won't talk to anybody else out there, okay?
I appreciate that so much, David. That's awesome. I don't want you talking to strangers. That could be quite dangerous. And I've been known, you know, to have that sort of pop-up podcast atmosphere because I have this Shure MV88 plugs right into the iPhone, and I can literally jump into a conversation and say, let's do this. Let's make a podcast right now. And people like you are super flexible. They had that yes and attitude, which makes you a great leader because you're always supporting. And yeah, cool. Three for three, all with sunshine. That's amazing.
Right on.
This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. So I'm really curious because to me, David, and the reason I asked you on the show, not only obviously I love you, I think you're just an awesome guy, but what you do is really interesting and really needed for everybody you serve, but specifically for schools. And to be completely transparent, grants scare the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. And you're an expert in this space. Can you rewind a bit and tell us a story? How did you even get involved with grants?
Well, it started a long time ago. I guess, you know, I'll keep it brief, but in first year university, I didn't really know what to study. I had a 1.6 GPA in year one. If you're following along at home on a 4.3 scale, that's a long way from passing. But then in second year, I walked into a class. Joan Everett was the professor, and it was called Introduction to Political Science. And it was the study of government. And man, I was just blown away how interesting it was. We learned about what governments do. And then I learned, man, politicians control everything. They set the rules for the finance market. They, you know, in Canada especially, they play a major role in healthcare, education. You know, government is just behind all of this stuff. So fast forward, I turned the GPA around and ended up doing pretty well. And then I did a master's degree. And I still wasn't really sure what I was going to do with my life, but I wanted to work with politicians. So I get a job in Edmonton, Alberta, home of the Edmonton Oilers. We got any hockey fans out there. And I got assigned to a guy named Rick Miller, who passed away to cancer a couple of years ago. Great guy. And he was the finance critic, and I was to become his researcher. So he sat me down and said, "Hey, Dave, get me in the newspaper. I want you to follow the money." And I knew what he meant. I mean, I had studied politics for years, and so I started looking at grants. And the first grant we found was, and it's on my website, you can see it was a grant for frat house furniture.
What? Really?
Yeah, $21,000.
Okay.
And then the article, the newspaper article is on my website. If you go on there and look at one of the blogs, I'm not sure which one it is, but it's on there. And it said, there's a bunch of things I learned in that process. One, grant money is everywhere. I mean, if a frat house can get furniture replacement, like we FOIP'd it, which is Freedom of Information. They went to the fancy furniture store and they got a $1,500 shoe rack and a $4,000 couch and wow. All this stuff, all on grants. And what I learned in that is money's everywhere. And then it just, you know, I could go on about where grant money is, but grant money was everywhere. I could write. And eventually this led me to creating Alberta Business Grants, which was, you know, we would find companies' grants because they're all over the place, you know, and they just scare people, as you said. And then we would teach them how to write because they're controlled by politicians, and that was our specialty. So we would say, hey, you know, be careful how you write them, you know, put your community stuff and all that. And so I know it's a bit of a long story, but it was, I never expected growing up I would have a company that specialized in helping businesses get funding or organizations funding, grant funding. But that's what it's turned out to be. And it's been a lot of fun.
That's so interesting. You know, I never would guess, right? $21,000 fraternities picking out furniture. But, you know, we're talking to school leaders. And in the pre-chat, you mentioned that you encounter education grants basically in three areas. Do you mind unpacking that a bit for us?
Yeah, well, when I saw what you were doing, I kind of want to go over with your, I know there's a lot of school leaders listening to this podcast. So I want to just give you three areas that I think there's funding that a lot of people don't know about. And the first I want to talk about is I'm a Rotarian. So I want to talk about, and then we're all throughout the world. So wherever you're listening to this, you're not far from a Rotary Club, and we all have budgets and we all have grants. The second one I want to talk about is corporations, and they have money they give as well. And then I want to talk to you about specific project grants, breakfast grants, agriculture grants, and that type of stuff. Do you mind, Sunshine, if I just give this sort of these tips to your readers? Can I jump right into it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Launch in.
Okay. So let's get started with a Rotary Club. So what is Rotary? You know, Rotarians are traditionally a group of people that are concerned about the community. In the past, they were business owners that came together to do service work. So each Rotary Club will have a budget. I'm with the Edmonton Sunrise Rotary Club here. And there's two ways that's just money we're always looking for. So one is we partner with elementary schools. So we fund their hot lunch program. We do Christmas hampers at obviously Christmas time, and we do other events for them. And so we have general operating money that we give to these schools. So if you're listening to this and you have an inner city school, I want you to start looking around at different Rotary clubs, and don't be afraid to look outside your zone. You know, if you're an inner city Rotary club and you want to partner with one on the outside or in a certain business area, start doing that. Just start looking at Rotary clubs, and they also have grants that they give out. So we have the Rotary Foundation, which is just lots and lots of money. Schools are a great place to get funded. So my next tip on this Rotary Club would be start by building a relationship with them. It's going to be a common theme.
Yeah.
So, you know, just go out, find out when they meet. They'll meet at lunch, usually in breakfast, lunch, or after work, and make a connection. Someone there will have a connection. I recommend that the principal be the first person to make contact. And then attend one of their shops and just start building a relationship. You can even be a guest speaker with them and go and just tell your story. And then the Rotarians will often say, hey, how can we help you? So the Rotary is the first one. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I want to stop you there just for a second, but the idea of relationships, right? I write the show notes as I do the podcast. So something that is so striking. I mean, the key to leadership success, and now you're talking about funding grants, it's always about relationships. And the question you have to ask yourself, and I don't know that school leaders are always thinking in this way, like it's a business and that your client or your customer is your student or your parent, or in this case, the Rotarians, you know, you want to connect with. But you talked about speaking, right? How can you bring and leverage your experience within your school, and how can you bring the most value to their club, sharing an inspiring story? They want to help. Like David said, they're interested in how they can make the community better. And as a school, there's no greater opportunity. But if you don't share your story, someone else is going to share theirs. And so it's just such an awesome opportunity. And I want to, you know, just challenge the listeners to get out there, tell your story, tell it on social media, all these different places, but go to businesses, go to Rotary clubs, et cetera, and tell them why you're special. And they're going to ask, because they're good people, how can we help? Exactly. Boom. Relationship started, and follow the money.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great. It's a win for everyone. So on relationships, which I think is a good transition to my second point, which is corporations. So I know a lot of people that are listening to this podcast have a strong background in public sector education. So why would a corporation be interested in funding schools? Well, and I'm going to come at this from a grant perspective, okay?
Yeah.
So grants are taxpayer money. The taxpayer has to kind of say, hey, you know what? I like this company. Like a bureaucrat or fundamentally a politician is going to make a decision whether or not they get grants. So I'm just going to use an example of agriculture. Let's say you have a school program that is, you know, teaching kids how to grow food, organics, whatever. From a grant perspective, why would a company want to fund that? Well, first of all, goodwill, right? They have an interest in it. Mm-hmm. They can get self-promotion. They can build loyalty with their own employees. So there's all kinds of reasons why corporates will want to give to you. And the same principle applies with relationships. So you need to identify those key companies that align with the programs that you're doing and just invite someone. And don't ask them for anything yet. You're just letting them know, hey, what do you do? Just tell your story. Now, from a grant perspective, which is where my world comes in, is when I'm writing $500,000 grant application or $250,000 grant application or $50,000 grant application for that matter, there's always aspects that ask, tell us about your company. And oftentimes they'll say, what do you do in the community? They want to know. They want to know the grant agency. They want to know if you're a good company. So they need these relationships with the community. So my advice, if you're a school, is make it really easy for corporations in your community to give to you. So it's a very good relationship. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does.
And it can be in any area, right? So if it's, we use agriculture as an example. So if there's a large potato company next door, or a soil or carrots or gosh, you name it. Or now if you get into technology, so you've got kids, you're teaching them computers and you have really cool technology companies in your space, invite them in and build that relationship. I should add to this, Sunshine, three things. Grants, big grants, are in agriculture, environment, and technology. I should have said that at the beginning. So if you are doing stuff in your school in those three sectors, so that's agriculture, environment, technology, the grant space is just, there's unlimited amount of grant money for those sectors. So I'm just trying to give you a heads up on, you know, start building those connections and you probably would have no problem making your way of starting to get corporations sponsoring your specific program in your school. That's the second one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does. And this is something that we experience at Brooks College Prep. We partnered with a company, IMC, that's based out of the Netherlands. So it's a Dutch company. They're a technology-driven trading firm, you know, stocks and bonds and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But we had a compelling story. We had awesome kids that were underserved. Mm-hmm. They came from really challenging backgrounds, over almost 90% free and reduced lunch. So that, you know, economically, they were hurting, right? But they were also top performers in student achievement assessments, any way you cut it. And so IMC wanted to help our kids do even better, even though they're achieving at an incredibly high rate. We didn't necessarily have the community that we could leverage, you know, just in the same city, Peyton College Prep. They have the doctors, the athletes, the dentists, the lawyers. I mean, they're bringing in millions of dollars literally just from their parents, right? And so we leveraged our story to connect with IMC. They're very interested in technology. So were we. We're seeing where jobs are going, right? And wanted to build a really big and booming computer science program. They said, yeah, we want to help fund that. So they bought us all sorts of devices. They created the computer science room. We paid for nothing, but they got to partner with us. They got to give. They wanted to improve the community. And so they got something out of that as well. Then when we had the marathon team, they basically funded that whole thing in terms of shoes. And they would always throw us a party. That was crazy. And they also helped fund our organic garden, which was the biggest in the city of Chicago when I was there. However, you know, when you think of farms and gardens and that kind of thing, it was relatively small. Mm-hmm. But the neat thing is that relationship then and the connection to the Netherlands brought in Dutch businessmen and businesswomen and the freaking king and queen of the Netherlands to come see what we were all about.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And that just, it all started with a single relationship by telling our story, giving people opportunity in an easy way to partner with us. And my life had so many amazing experiences that I never would have had, right, if we hadn't reached out in that way. So yeah, it's all making sense, Dave.
Yeah. I just want to give one more tip to your listeners. When you're building those relationships, especially with corporations, keep in mind the corporation's interest. They always want to, like, a lot of businesses operate in regulated environments, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, I don't know, shipping goods from here to Belgium, right? Like, you know, there's just regulations in everywhere. So they want to build relationships too. And elected officials are not just there for people. They're also there for the businesses, small businesses in their community. So I would encourage your listeners to learn to partner with them. So, you know, ask your corporation, say, hey, look, can we bring our local representative, elected representative, to this groundbreaking? So now you're becoming a connector where they see a local business and the local politician are coming together and they can build trust too. And that's important, right? I mean, we need trust in all areas of our business and government to function as a society. So a school can play, I know it sounds kind of corny, but it's like a catalyst. Like, it's a great place that other people have interests in. So I would encourage you to do what Sunshine just recommended. Just make it really easy for them. A simple program, start a relationship, and you'd be surprised how much abundant giving there can be. Because, I mean, corporations have a lot of money, and some of them do, profitable ones, right? Mm-hmm. And the project that you're doing, it can be just a drop in the buck, you know, 10,000, 20,000. I don't know what kind of project, but it can be literally, these companies can drop a $20,000 check like it's a Kleenex, you know, dropping a Kleenex on the floor. So it's very simple, and it's not that. And I know the numbers, when you get into school budgets and you're thinking all the time, cutting and tight budgets, but $20,000 for a profitable corporation, it's peanuts. So I would encourage you to build those relationships.
Yeah.
Anything more on corporations, or can we go to the last area?
No, let's move on.
Okay. So now I want to get into sort of niche grants. And if you're online right now, I would encourage you to go to breakfastclubcanada.org/schoolcorner, apply for a grant. You'll see it there. But there's grants for specific programs. So if you have, and I know Hot Lunch is a big one here in Alberta, you know, they're doing pilot programs all the time. Hot Lunch, specific niche projects, tech, look around for targeted grants. Sometimes people don't even think about it, right? They think, oh, I want to put a computer lab in, or I want to start a school breakfast lunch program. They don't realize, and this is my world, okay? There's funding for it. Mm-hmm. It already exists. Mm-hmm. People out there, this is what I do for a living. People are out there trying to give money away, and they can't find the people. And the people who want the money don't know it exists. So I would encourage whatever kind of neat program you're doing, spend some time looking for grants in that area, because you'll be surprised what's out there. There's a lot of grant money. I don't know how big the total industry is, but we're talking billions, right?
Right, exactly.
So just take your time before you even go to your, whoever you have to go to seek about getting funds for the project. Just start looking around for grants. Once you find the grant, then it's meeting the grant agency. And that is sort of what you were talking about, where you know, you got your story together and you had a compelling story and they liked it. Same thing when a school has a certain program. You know, get the facts together, take some time. You found the grant, tell your story, who, what, when, where, why, how much. Have a little question and answer document to the back of it, right? Like how many kids are you going to help and how much it's going to cost. Have it all planned out and then set up a meeting. And you'll find that you're in what I call sort of that top percentile of people that show up at a grant meeting prepared. And they're going to love you because most people just call and say, hey, tell me about this grant. Don't do it that way. Be more proactive. Get all your ducks in a row. And you'll really impress them. You'll build trust with them and you can go from there. Those are kind of three areas I wanted to summarize. So it was sort of Rotary, build trust with corporations, and then look specific for specific grants. You'll be well on your way to getting access to resources that you never had, never thought was possible and probably haven't had, maybe in some cases ever before.
Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. And I like what you ended on as well. Just, you didn't say be professional, but be professional. Get everything in order. Be proactive. Don't be the person, you know, with their hand out just asking spare anything because it's evident that you need it, right? Be the person that needs it, but is hustling, that has everything together. You know, they're organized. They have a vision for where they want to go, but they do need that help. Those are the compelling stories that people want to take on, right? It's not just the people looking, oh, please help, we need it.
Exactly. And I would also encourage you to be bold and innovative. Companies, governments included, they love to support bold initiatives, right? What a great place in a school to say, hey, look, you know, we're looking at ways that we can reduce greenhouse gas emissions, you know, and we've got a little pilot project going on. You know how many companies want to align with green initiatives?
Exactly.
So be bold and lead. And it's almost like the push-pull strategy, you know?
Yeah.
If this is done properly, these people will be lining up to give you money. They'll want to give you money. They'll want to support you. They'll want to align with you if you're doing the right things. So it takes courage and it takes character and strength and stuff to kind of move forward, because there'll be people that say, no, you shouldn't do it. My sister who just called, you know, she has a nonprofit for helping women get careers in aviation, because women are only like 5% of pilots, for example. And when she started that initiative, there were all kinds of naysayers. You know, she's doing a calendar, a professional calendar, highlighting different air traffic controllers. And some people were like, oh, I don't think that's appropriate. My sister's like, this is crazy. You know, like calendars have become, you know, I don't know what the correct term is, but a symbol of inappropriate behavior, a simple professional calendar. So she had faced a lot of backlash just getting a nonprofit to try to get women into careers of aviation. So whatever you're doing out there, and now she's killing it. I mean, she's a global woman of vision and all kinds of cool stuff. So what you're doing, don't be afraid if you're thinking, man, I really want to do this project, but I don't know if I'm going to get support. I don't know. But it's the right thing to do. You would be amazed the kind of support I've seen with her bold initiative moving forward of trying to get women careers in aviation. It attracts the right people and they get behind it and they're really passionate about it and it just explodes. So sorry, a little bit of a sidetrack there, but I think in terms of getting funding, I've seen it where people who are courageous and bold and do the right thing and step out in the face of people who are questioning them, it actually attracts the right people and funding, and they'll just give you a check after check. It's not a problem. It's my experience anyway.
Yeah, well, it's back to being niche down. You know, I know that the fact, you know, you're bold, you're innovative, you're passionate about this subject, okay. And when people start hating on it, that should maybe just be validation that this idea is going to click with someone. And once you meet that right somebody, it all falls into place. But do you have, like you said, the courage and the character to push through that like your sister did, you know, in order to build whatever it is that you're after? So, you know, David, we talked about the areas of grant funding and we talked about this going for it in a bold and innovative way. But what are the steps to actually finding the grants?
Well, just trust me. So this is what happened for us. The challenge with finding grants is that they're all named something different. You know, they're called funds, initiatives, programs. They're almost called everything except a grant. It's like grant's a dirty word, right? Because I don't know if it's this.
So don't Google grant.
Yeah, it's like a fund initiative. So it's quite a bit of work. You know, I mean, we started building a database here in Alberta. We have over 600 grants in our database just in our province alone here. And that includes federal ones. But it takes time. And, you know, you want to find someone who's a good researcher who can dig and dig and dig, you know. So there's no easy way. The other challenge with it is they're all in different formats. So you get onto one grant and you're trying to find out what the deadline is and how much it's worth and what's eligible and what's not. And every single one is different. So unfortunately, we just have Alberta right now where we have every single one put into the right format. So you can quickly look and go through it. You know, you can say, okay, this is they're all in the same format, you know, title, value, who's eligible, what's eligible, deadline, date, contact for more information and contact person. So there's a couple ways. One is you can spend the time. Two, you can hope this isn't come across as too self-promoting. You can hire a company like us who will go out and find all of the free funding in your space. And we provide custom grant packages for organizations. So those are really your two options. Either one, just do it yourself, or two, hire someone to do it for you.
Right. And I guess what I'm hearing is the right kind of person to find that type of grant is very research minded, you know? And so if they're going to, A, do they have the capacity to dig and dig and dig, right? And then B, depending on the makeup of your school, do they have the time, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the challenge. I mean, it can take you weeks to do this, right? So a lot of times, because there's different types of grants too, right? What people don't realize. And in the school space, it's, you know, you're probably looking at different types of funding. Like I'm sure depending on the province or state you're in, the federal government has, well, we see it all the time. Like I just saw it on the news yesterday, 50 schools here are part of the Hot Lunch pilot program. Well, how come, who gets on that 50 list? Mm-hmm. Who are the first five? These are the kind of things you kind of want to, when you're researching, finding the grants, is find, okay, where is the money going? And a lot of it is just getting in the way of it, right?
Yeah. No, that's good. I wouldn't even know to be thinking about those questions. So I could see, you know, why you're the expert in the space. So David, let's kind of start winding this down in two fun questions and then two more serious questions. And then we'll get you your contact information so people can reach out to you and hire you, because I know they don't have the time. I know they don't have the time, and they probably don't have the people that can find the grants either. So we'll get to that too. But David, what do you do for fun?
Well, I play rec hockey. So of course, I'm from up here in Edmonton, Alberta. Canada's a huge hockey country, as most people listening know. So I check it out. I'm on a league here in the summertime. In the wintertime, we play summertime too, actually. But I play hockey's probably my number one kind of stress release, you know, get away from work and just get out and play. So I love it. So I would say that's the number one thing for fun right now.
And if you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
If I could be automatic, it would be really technical. You know, I think we just live in a world where technology is such a massive component of what's going on, right? Coding and all this. I think if I could be good at something, it would be a wizard at computers, coding and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, I've got the basics, but if I could be really good at that and just instantly, yeah, I'd take that for sure.
And what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a good question. As I look at my bookshelf, you know, I would say, let me look. You know, there's a book out there called Studying Efficiently and Effectively. And it's a small book, but it teaches people how to, it was written for Dalhousie medical and dental students. Okay. And it's the book that took me from a 1.6 GPA to graduating first class honors. And I think a lot of students don't know how to study and don't know how to learn properly. And this book changed my life. It's the most important book I've ever read in my life. I actually lent it to my niece, who's in Okanagan College right now in British Columbia, and she's using it. I think that is a book that should be in every school. And I could tell you a longer story how it changed my life, but it's small. So in the very small, on concentration, published in 1996. And so I think studying effectively and efficiently would be a book that they should read and have in their schools. Yeah.
We'll have that linked up, listeners, you know that, in the show notes. So appreciate that recommendation. And David, the last question I want to ask you today is, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so just for a day?
I think it goes back to, you know, even witnessing my sister here calling about being bold. I just think I would encourage people to do the right thing and be bold and be courageous. Like, the world is changing so quickly and technologies are coming on. I just think people are going to have to be innovative and courageous. So I would just encourage people to be bold and be courageous and, you know, pursue your dreams. That type of idea would be a message that I would have, I would like every kid walking into school see.
Hey, Danny Sunshine here, and I'd like to tell you a little more about the Mastery Leadership Institute taking place this summer in Salt Lake City. This event is an intensive 3-day professional development retreat facilitated by nationally recognized principals. Educators will be immersed in full-day workshops focused on strategies to effectively use data to target interventions, personalize learning, and evaluate instructional efficacy. True school transformation is only possible when educators are empowered to use the data they collect to immediately impact teaching and learning. Learn more about the Mastery Leadership Institute, including upcoming dates and locations, at masteryconnect.com/MLI. That's masteryconnect.com/MLI. Well, David, thanks so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast.
I love it. Yeah.
Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you, especially on those custom grant packages?
Yeah, sure. My website is albertabusinessgrants.ca, and you can contact me there, or I guess maybe I could put my phone number is 780-297-6177. You can always pick up the phone and say, hey, I heard you on a podcast. So yeah, be happy just to have a talk with people and give them some tips too. So feel free to reach out and see if we can get people some money.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember, life's 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and David. Be better starting today. Head on over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type David in the search bar. Show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. David, thanks so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you.
Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.